Welcome to Missionary Talks, where we talk with missionaries and learn about their lives and work.
Today on Missionary Talks, I'm talking with Erin Rigsby. She's a missionary in Nigeria. Wanted to start off, Erin, by you just telling us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and basically how did you get to Africa?
Well, I was born and raised in Texas, and when I was a young girl, I received Christ, but it wasn't until I went to college that I was able to have Christian friends and be involved in a lot of Christian Bible studies and activities. And during that time, I was able to spend quality time with international students. Through those interactions, I learned a lot about cross-cultural ministry, and God was really challenging me to share Him with people on campus. But then the more I did that, the more I had a burden to see what He was doing in other parts of the world. And so when I was a freshman in college, I decided that I wanted to go overseas. And after a lot of prayer and research, I decided to go to Zimbabwe with Child Evangelism Fellowship. And the 2 months I was there, and that really opened my eyes. I was only, I think, 18 years old. When I came back to Texas, I took over a year to really process everything I saw and what I learned. And I honestly did not want to do missions after that. I was pretty overwhelmed. And I felt very inadequate. But over the next year, during my sophomore and junior year of college, God just really was showing me that it wasn't about how I felt. It was about His glory. And He opened up the door for me to go to China. That happened in the summer between my junior and senior year of college. And when I went there, it was 2 years later after my time in Zimbabwe, I was more mature in the Lord and more aware of cultural issues that I had within myself, and God really used that time to give me a joy and a desire to be in a place where He could really use my weakness and my inadequacy, because then He got the glory. And so God really used a verses in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 31 and 32 and 33, to be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days and the land that you will possess. And I felt that God was really showing me that He wanted me to do missions, and He wanted me to stay focused. And at that time, and even up to now, I still feel like it's a long-term process and a commitment with Him. And He really encouraged me in the end of that passage about how I will live and prosper, and He will prolong my days in the land that He has given me. And I have taken that promise throughout these past years that I started my missionary journey.
Now, when you went to Zimbabwe, you were with CEF. Did you work with children there?
Yes. Actually, I had never worked with children before, but God just opened up that door, and I loved working with the kids. So we did backyard Bible clubs and different types of activities with them. It was very structured, so that really helped me to have good exposure to kids.
In China, did you work with children as well?
No, in China, actually, we were teaching English, and we did teach students who were probably between 17 and 20 years old.
Now, you're a nurse now, working as a nurse in Nigeria. How has that all played out? How did you get from going as a missionary but also working as a nurse?
So when I was a senior in nursing school, that is when I committed to long-term missions with SIM, who I serve with. And at that time, I knew I wanted to use my skills as a nurse because I saw that that was really valuable. And the more I heard stories and from specific missionary biographies, I saw that medicine was a great way to open up the door to the gospel. And so when I was really praying about what country to come to in Africa, the Lord just really was quiet for a couple of years. It was very frustrating. But then it was a perfect opportunity in His timing when a representative of SIM heard about me and heard about my desire to work with children in a city who are at high risk, who are orphans, who are street children. And he actually lived in Nigeria for about 14 years, and he's very aware of the ministries here. So he contacted one of the missionaries in Nigeria and said, here I have this girl, and she wants to really get involved. Can you help? And it was actually a perfect setup because who he contacted is my current boss, Peter Fretheim. And Peter oversees the ministry that I serve with now, and they were really needing a nurse to take care of all of the children that we have come in.
Are you in a hospital or an orphanage? I think it's an orphanage, right?
What we call our centers, our care centers, and not all of the children are legitimate orphans. Most of them have actually run away from a home or been abused or kicked out of the house, and they lived on the streets for months or years. And we do have a good percentage who are orphans. So because of that, we don't call it an orphanage. But the children do live in our care centers. We have five of them right now up and running in Nigeria. My role in Nigeria with this ministry is as a nurse. When I first was here, my first 2.5 years, I really just had to learn about tropical medicine and the culture and the hospital process, and it was a daily struggle to try to figure out how to diagnose and how to prescribe and working with the doctors in the hospital, but yet working in the community with the care center children and helping it all to work appropriately and adequately to meet their needs. The second term has been a lot different than the first because I've been more in a role of delegating and consulting, and that's actually what we want to do as missionaries, is we want to empower the people where we serve, and we want to encourage them and equip them, because at any moment we could be asked to evacuate, or we'd have no idea what the Lord will do with the mission. We don't want the Nigerians to depend on the Western missionaries, and so my role right now is changing to become more of a supervisor in helping to care for the children.
You had mentioned earlier that through reading missionary biographies and such, it helped influence you. Do you enjoy reading biographies, and would you recommend missionary biographies?
Oh, absolutely. In the recent years, the Christian bookstores have been providing very thin paperback biographies for about $2 or $3, and they are extremely encouraging because you get to see read about a real person who had real struggles, who was just like you, and it really helped me over the past 5 or 6 years to read about other people and their struggles, but yet see how God was glorified in all that. Or there's so many miracles, and so yes, I recommend that as a great way to be exposed. It's a very non-threatening way to learn about missions and to learn about different countries in the world, too.
Let me ask you a few questions about Nigeria itself. What language do they speak there?
We have over 450 languages in Nigeria. Thankfully, there are 4 major languages, and one of them is Hausa. So although I am trying to learn Hausa, most children that we work with know English, because if they have received any education at all, they learn English in their government schools. And so although I'm trying to learn Hausa because I think it's important to connect with the children in their heart language, thankfully they do speak English. But I was very convicted that it's very important for me to know the language, because that really shows the people that I love them and that I respect them, and that if I'm going to be here another 20 to 50 years, whatever God wants, then I think it's only appropriate that I know the heart language, even though they can speak English.
Is English pretty common, though, amongst the people that you would deal with on a day-to-day basis?
Yes. Almost all of our children speak English in the area that I work in. Our 2 largest care centers are here in Jos, in the city I work in. One of them has 70 children, and one of them has 90 children. And probably 90% of them can speak fluently in English to me, so language really hasn't been a barrier for the medical part. However, I've been finding that when a child really wants to explain a problem or a difficulty, that he resorts to Hausa, and I need a translator. So I really want to know Hausa so I can communicate with them when they're having the deep emotional problems.
What is the climate like there?
The state that I live in is the plateau state, and we are on a high elevation, higher than the rest of Nigeria, and that means that we have milder weather. And so I actually live in a city, and there's different estimates on how many people are in Jos, but over a few million at least live here in the city. So I'm in a very urban setting. However, there are no sky rises. There's about one building that's over 10 stories tall, so it's not a metropolitan as you picture in the States. It's just packed full of people because Nigeria is the most populated country in Africa with over 130 million people. So there are people everywhere here. And in our city, we have milder weather. We're actually having cool weather right now where I would need to wear a jacket if I went outside. And we're in rainy season. We have rainy season and dry season. That's all we have in Nigeria. So rainy season lasts for 6 months. And it rains every day, but not all day, only maybe a couple hours every day. And then it's just beautiful and sunny the rest of the time. And I love rainy season. And then dry season comes around November. And the first couple months are fine because everything's still green, but there's absolutely no rain and there's sun every day. And then everything turns completely brown and dead, and it becomes very, very dusty because we in Nigeria are located right under the Sahara Desert. So in the dry season, the harmattan comes, and what that is large gusts of wind will carry the sand from the desert over into the country of Nigeria, and it's not as though it's a sandstorm necessarily, but the entire sky is white with sand, and you can dust your furniture, and within 10 minutes, it's coated with dust again. And that becomes a very difficult time for about 3 months, especially for people who have asthma or allergies. But my favorite time of the year is actually right now in August, when everything is green, and it is cool, and it is raining. At the end of rainy season, which is in October, it becomes more difficult to travel around Nigeria because some of the roads leading to our different care centers are all muddy. And the one care center we have in the city has 70 kids. But the other one that I mentioned that has 90 children, they are outside of Jos. And there's about a four-mile road full of potholes and mud that you have to drive through to get to the care center. And so it always provides for adventure, that's for sure.
Do you have a testimony you'd like to share with us of somebody that has gotten saved that you've been able to see fruit grow from that?
Sure. I would love to tell you about a boy named Shadrach. He is 10 years old, and he is just a precious boy. And when he was young, his parents separated, and so he went to live with his mom. But she abused him and neglected him. And when he was 5 years old, he was climbing in a tree in his village, and he fell out of the tree, and he broke his arm. But his mom took him to two different traditional healers who tried different plants and different traditions to heal him, but they couldn't do anything for him, of course. And so by the time she took him to the hospital, it was too late, and they had to amputate his left arm. Of course, this was tragic for him when he was five, but also his mother died of AIDS in 2002, and so then he went to live with his father, and his father did take good care of him, but then his father died of AIDS in 2004. He really didn't have anyone caring for him, and one day recently, early last year, a local woman's fellowship at a church had a convention, and they were focusing on identifying orphans and widows in the community. And they heard about Shadrach, and they contacted our ministry. And so soon after that, he was invited to move into our care center in Kaduna, which is about 4 hours from Jos. And so I went to visit and talk with Shadrach back in June. I felt very burdened for him. And so at the end of our talk, I asked him if he would go to heaven when he dies. And he looked down on the ground, and he said he wasn't sure. I was trying to pull more out of Shadrach and more questions, but he was just being quiet. And so I just decided to tell him about the forgiveness of Jesus and the love of God. And I talked to him about how God just provided for him a new home and took care of him and saved his life when his arm was dead and the rest of him could have died. And Shadrach said that he wanted to pray to receive Christ. And so on June 30th, he received Christ. And he was just so happy after praying. And he's only 10 years old. And I can just imagine the Lord just rejoicing over him. I asked Shadrach if he wanted people to pray for him. And he said that he wants us to pray that God will take the anger out of him, so that he will stop fighting, and that he wants to learn how to read, because he wants to be able to read the Bible for himself. And I got to be a part of that, and that was really exciting for me, because most of our boys pray to receive Christ right when they come into the ministry, and so I rarely get the opportunity to share the gospel with a child.
Well, thank you. It's been nice talking to you, Erin. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we close?
If God has placed in your heart a desire to go overseas or to be a part of a ministry in the States, that you really take the opportunity. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has to do with obedience and what the Lord is asking of us. And I just encourage you to really allow him to use you despite your weaknesses and despite how you might feel inadequate, because that is really the time that he is glorified the most. Both David and I encourage you to continue praying and seeking him for the next steps in your life.
You've been listening to Missionary Talks with David Peach. Please visit us at missionarytalks.com.